Good morning, everyone. Please meet me in the Word of God in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 there in just a moment. It is 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I am standing in the one place in the whole world that I want to be in so much on 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We are back for the 9 a.m. service. And I just, the song Brother Dave just led, we just lift our voices and praise God. It is such a joy to be back in this service again. And that's going to mean an awful lot of really good things for us. It does mean that Q&A morning will return on the last Sunday of the month in the 9 o'clock hour, not just on fifth Sundays. Every month, last Sunday of the month, does mean that I get to start preaching again through a book of the Bible, and I will resume preaching in Samuel next Sunday morning in the 9 o'clock hour, Lord willing. And it means as well that I get to talk about some things that fit with and supplement and help some other material that I have presented. We'll see an example of that this morning as we talk a little bit about stress in just a moment. I think that's going to fit with some other things that I said last month. Just didn't have a place to put that. Well, do now. I just do now. I'm so thankful to be with you this morning. Let's work in the Word of God. I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is verse 7 where I am reading that Paul says, 2 Corinthians 1 and 7, our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, and so you will also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. As the pandemic does finally seem to be slowing down a little bit, some new concerns are beginning to emerge. People are starting to talk about not the physical toll of the pandemic, but what about our mental health? All that screen time, all those Zoom meetings. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Turn your mic on. All that having kids at home for school and for worship and for everything. Employment uncertainty, income uncertainty, being isolated, loved ones that we have not seen in months. On top of that, a very, very divisive and difficult presidential election and all kinds of racial unrest. This has without doubt been one of the most stressful years that any of us have ever seen. How are you this morning? Feeling some stress? We're coming back to normal with our three services, but even that's a little stressful. Should I wear a mask? Some of you wearing a mask. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Can I even be here for 3 hours and sit through 3 straight hours? Is someone going to be in my pew? Yeah, that's a big stressor, isn't it? Lots going on in our world. The American Psychological Association has issued some warnings about the impact of all of these stressful events on our mental health. They've done polling and research and found, shockingly, Americans are stressed out. In survey responses, nearly half of Americans said they had delayed or canceled health care services since the pandemic began. Alcohol consumption, way up. Getting enough sleep, way down. And a majority of adults reported undesirable weight gain. I've never seen a whole auditorium suck in all at the same time. There's lots happening in our world today, and every marker and every gauge tells us that we are feeling a year that has been difficult and tiring and tough and very stressful. Last month, I preached a lesson on praying for peace, and I think that's step one in dealing with anxiety and worry and stress. I really wanted to talk further, though, about what we can do beyond just praying, seeking God and asking for His blessing. What kind of tangible actions can Christians take that will help them to engage with stress and even overcome it? So that means this morning I get the opportunity to supplement, if you will. In some ways, this is a sequel to that lesson preached on April the 11th. You can find it on our website or on our Facebook page. I want to talk about some activity that you and I can be involved in that will help us with all this stress that's in our world. I'm going to share some important passages with you that you can mark down. that will be a help to you as we navigate stress. Having said that, let's just get a couple of things clear as we're thinking about stress this morning. First and foremost, let's just notice this. Wow, let's just show all I'm stressing out. Here we go. Let's talk about stress. First and foremost, stress isn't all bad. We need to think about that a little bit. Stress does provide some ability to function better, to focus tighter, and to do our best. I would expect that if you had a blood pressure monitor hooked up to David as he walked out to meet Goliath, yeah, he was probably kicking the numbers up a little bit. But that's okay, isn't it? We don't want David on the battlefield being all droopy-eyed and sleepy. Go away, Goliath. That probably doesn't work. So a little bit of stress pushes us forward, makes us sharper, makes us have that edge that we need. And then secondly, the reality is not all things that cause stress are beyond our control. Paul talks about that in our text, that he was burdened beyond belief, beyond what he could bear. That came because of persecution, because of false teachers. That was not entirely something that he could even do something about. You go to work tomorrow morning, there's a pink slip on your desk. That's beyond your control. You can't affect that in any kind of way. In fact, we've talked about that a lot all through the pandemic, that there's all sorts of things that we have no control over. More and more, I've come to see there's less and less that I have any control over, which certainly means if you add all that up, stress is just going to be part of our lives. There's not going to be any existence without some stress, at least unless you're dead. So the goal isn't to be stress-free. The goal is to manage it and to be able to cope with it and to get through it in the power of God. By the way, I'm not going to tell you this morning that the answer to stress is to go on vacation. The travel industry would like that. Commercials like that. And we like to think about that and fantasize about that. Let's go to the mountains. Let's go sit on the beach. Let's go fishing. Those are neat ideas, and there is a place for that. Jesus rested from time to time. Certainly not saying we should never go on vacation, but that's not a realistic answer as a permanent solution, is it? If you have doubts about that, go read 1 Kings 19. Elijah gets fed up with everything that's going on, and he runs away. But that not only doesn't solve any problems, he's in the wrong place to serve God, and God isn't pleased with him for doing that. We have to do better than to imagine that we can just vacay our way out of stressful problems. In fact, sometimes when we get back from vacation, it's all waiting for us, and that just creates more stress. So if you're feeling stressed this morning, let me give you four passages in the Bible that will help you with stress. Maybe jot these down in the back of your Bible, jot them down on a card and stick it in your Bible. These passages will be something that you can refer to. You're pulling your hair out. You think you're coming to the end of your rope. You're not even sure you can tie a knot and hang on any longer. These verses will help you deal with and cope with stress in a distinctively Christian way. You ready for that? Let's try some of that. And we're going to start that conversation out of 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll probably spend more time with this passage than the other verses. Really think I need to camp here for a moment because everything is triggered off of the decision of 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. Read with me there where Paul says, this is 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, where Paul says that we need to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. The reality is oftentimes stress comes into our lives because we've never made a commitment to do what 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says we need to do. Instead, somehow we hope that stress will miraculously dissolve and go away. That's just wishful thinking. What this passage talks about is a real commitment. We have determined something. By the way, isn't the truth sometimes we revel in stress? We parade how busy we are, how chaotic life is, how many things are going on in our life as a way of saying, look at me, I'm so important, I have so many things to manage. We say we're all stressed out, but kind of like being able to brag about that. And we don't ever really intend to change it. Paul says aspire to live quietly. Now, as much as I love the ESV, I'll have to give a shout out to the New American Standard this morning, because the New American Standard says, make it your ambition. And another translation says, set your goal. I like that a lot better than aspire. Aspire sounds like wishful thinking, doesn't it? Make it your ambition. We don't think of Christians as being ambitious. What's your ambition? My ambition, Paul says, is to live quietly. I am called as a disciple to lead a calm life. Have you thought about that? Somebody asked you, what are you doing today? Are you saying, my goal today is to lead a quiet life? Well, it may be easy to do on a Sunday. What's your goal for tomorrow as the work week begins? I aspire to live quietly. This is what God wants for us. God does not want us to be harried and worried and freaked out. God wants us to make a commitment to a calmer life. Notice when we make that decision, I'm going to do that, that's going to call for a lot of follow through. That's going to call on me to do the things necessary to live that life. And if you're wondering, oh, really, who cares? How about verse 12? Verse 12, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. When I'm all as stressed as everybody else, how is that an advertisement for Christianity? How does that call anybody to the cross of Christ when we can't live differently? Think about how often these very ideas are addressed in Scripture. Jesus has that long section in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 25, where he talks about worry. Isn't worry just focused stress? Yeah. And Jesus says it doesn't do any good. God takes care of the birds of the air, the grasses of the fields. Why are we so anxious? Why are we so stressed if instead we'll seek first the kingdom? Matthew 6 and verse 33. We need to decide, I'm going to live a quieter life. I'm going to work to put in place the kind of things that will help me be calm, not so stressed. Well, Mark, what kind of things would that be? Well, how about a trip over into Matthew's gospel? What about in Matthew 7? One of the things that we could decide to do that would result in less stress is to practice the golden rule. Read with me in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. In Matthew 7 and verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now normally, if I'm preaching on worry, preaching on stress, preaching on praying for peace, I'm a little worried that some of that's going to miss my audience. I know there's going to be some people in the audience who just don't know about that, just not feeling that. Maybe that's some retired older people. Maybe that's somebody who has economic certainty because they own their business and it's an essential business that does lots of business in crises time. There's always going to be somebody who's going to say, you know, that really wasn't for me. Except this year, there isn't anybody who got a pass this year. Retired older people probably have more stress than anybody in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Your experience is different than mine, but all of us have had to deal with COVID-19. And all of that means that none of us are at our best self right now. Because of all that we've been through, we are harried and scared and anxious and stressed. You and I want in that kind of time? Because all these things have happened in my life and there's all these things that I'm dealing with, I would like for you to treat me with kid gloves. I'd like you to give me the benefit of the doubt. I'd like for you to be compassionate and extra gracious to me. Guess what that means? That means I must do exactly the same for you. That's Matthew 7 and 12. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. One writer noted, I have come to realize that everyone in the whole world has been living with an elevated stress baseline for over a year. Just ordinary life stress can become overwhelming. When that happens, we lose the capacity for good judgment and our negative responses escalate. COVID-19 has strapped a booster rocket to every concern we have. Add the jet fuel of limitless media, and everyone's worst impulses get broadcast to everyone. We polarize and then we pulverize. That's exactly what's happened in our world. And in a world like that, extra kindness, extra goodness, extra graciousness is going to stand out. That's going to be the unique response from a disciple who says, I will live the way the Lord tells me to live. I've emphasized across the pandemic the need for us to be kind. And I'm still emphasizing that because that need still exists. Especially when people are afraid. Fear does funny things to people. Made King Saul hide in a tent when he should have been out fighting Goliath. It made Peter act like a hypocrite towards his Gentile brethren when he was in the presence of Jewish brethren. And Peter's the guy who brought the Gentiles the gospel. What was that about? That was about fear. That was about being afraid. One fellow noted that neurologists and brain researchers have discovered that when the brainstem area that manages fear gets activated, the part of the brain that manages rational thought and creativity shuts down. In simple English, fear and anxiety makes us stupid. That's a pretty good summary of the pandemic. Lots of stupid going around. You want to know the Christian's answer to that? Try Proverbs with me in Proverbs 15. In Proverbs 15 and verse 1, you want to make stress go away? Be extra gracious. Somebody wants to fuss. Somebody wants to argue. Somebody wants to shout about their point of view on that matter, this politics, this politician, these issues. Hey, here's an idea. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Mark Roberts International East Texas Version says, a harsh word creates more stress. Make a decision now. You'll be extra nice. You're not going to get involved in conflicts, complaining, and controversy. We're going to give people the benefit of the doubt, just like we want them to give us. Which brings me to a third key verse. How about this passage? Let's think a little bit about Philippians 4 and about the importance of trimming some things in our lives. What could we cut out of our life? I'm reading in Philippians 4. In verse 11, this is a famous passage. Sometimes it stresses me because it's quoted out of context. This passage talks about Paul being content and having the power to be content in stressful circumstances. How do you manage that, Paul? Not that I'm speaking, verse 11, of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. And I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul worked through the stress of imprisonment and persecution by being willing to hold on to less. Give up. Let some things go. Hold on to God more. Worry about the things of this world even less. And much of the stress that comes into our lives today comes from things that we can't control. That's true. But you know what? Some of it comes into our lives through things that we can control. What if we cut those things out? Maybe to sharpen that point a little bit, what if we unplugged from those things? So much of the stress that arrives in our life arrives via technology. Technology does some great things for us, has sustained us in many ways in this pandemic. But that smartphone, that laptop, that tablet can create stress. Because the human heart was not made to consume news and information about every tragedy that's happening everywhere in the world 24/7. Oh my, look at this. Something terribly sad has happened on the other side of the planet. It has nothing to do with me, but I'm going to click on this story and I'll be sad too. Oh, looky here. Somewhere, somebody with a degree after their name says everything that I've ever heard about, pick your subject, the pandemic, politics, your favorite food, all of that's wrong according to Dr. So-and-so. Let me read what he says and then I can be all stressed out. Oh, look, something terrible is happening. There's crime, there's violence, there's man-eating llamas. Something is awful happening. Now I'm going to read that and I'll be all stressed too. When did doom scrolling become our hobby? We need better hobbies. Here's two important facts. Number one, I don't need to know everything that's being done everywhere. Fact number two, I don't need to comment on everything being done everywhere. And when I try to know everything, have an opinion about everything, and broadcast my opinion to everybody, that just creates a lot of anxiety and stress in my life. Paul says, I do without some things. Maybe I could do without some things as well. And even more, the fearful mind, we talk a little bit about fear. The fearful mind, the truth is, the fearful mind is prone to accept and sometimes even create fanciful narratives or conspiracy theories to explain all of the scary stuff going on. Don't do that. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Let's cut all of that out. A good place to start with dealing with stress might be a hard look at the apps on our phone and the websites on our computer that deal in stress and have made us their number one customer. If it's out of my control, then I need to give it to the Lord. I can't change it, so I don't have to get involved with it. Let's be like Paul. Let's learn to do without. Which brings me to this final passage. How about Exodus, the 34th chapter? This is part of the Ten Commandments when Moses summarizes those again after the terrible golden calf episode. But rather than read the actual commandment, I'm going to read over here in Exodus 34, 21 because it has a little bit different take and just a little bit more to help us there. In Exodus, the 34th chapter, in Exodus 34 and in verse 21, there Moses says, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Now watch the rest of the passage. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. What about that? I'm concerned about authorities saying we aren't sleeping enough. While the body isn't everything, caring for the body is important so that we can function as disciples. Do you see the emphasis in our passage? Even when it seemed like you ought to go 90 to nothing, 24/7, we gotta get the fields plowed. And what about harvest? You know, if it rains, it ruins everything. We gotta get it in now. You gotta make hay while the sun shines. Yet the Lord said, nope. When the Sabbath comes around, you stop. You rest. Rest is important even when we're terribly busy. What I want to emphasize here especially, though, is the idea of really resting. Most of us get some days off of work. But what we do sometimes on those days off of work is what? We jam more stuff in. All the fun that we want to do, all the places that we want to go, all the exciting activities that we want to be a part of. We're going to do this project. We're going to take that. We're going to have a side order of this. More, more, more. Who's courageous enough to say, we need to rest? Jesus rested. Last week as part of our Bible study. Remember in our daily Bible reading in Mark? They had to wake Jesus up in the middle of a storm. He was resting in the back of the boat. Maybe I could use some of that rest if I'm feeling so stressed. That may mean I need to take a nap. Not during church. That may mean I need to go to bed earlier on Saturday night. It also could mean that I want to turn off the game, put down my phone, get my Bible, get my prayer list, and find a quiet place to say I'm going to rest in the presence of the Lord. That's exactly what the Sabbath day was about. And while we are not under the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments do give us some ideas of the cycles of life and what's important about a day for no activity other than thinking about the Lord. Giving you some passages already that you could meditate on during a time of rest. There are other passages to add to that list. What about Psalm 23? How would it de-stress us if we read that great passage, "The Lord is my shepherd"? What about the promises to Joshua? Joshua chapter 1. "Be strong and be courageous, for I am with you." What about what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7? "Cast all your cares upon him." There's lots of passages like that. Let's mark those verses in our Bible. And let's be strong enough, courageous enough, to stop everything and spend some time resting, meditating on the Word of God, praying to the Lord. Those kinds of things bring assurance and dispel our worries and doubts and fears as we realize that we are not alone. And that God will help us if we just pause long enough to de-stress by resting in the Lord. Well, the world has certainly been turned upside down. And it's not right side up entirely yet. The trauma, the suffering, the loss, and the strain has been incredible. None of us are our normal selves. We're worn out. We're out of patience. Our tempers are on a hair trigger. Now is the time to slow down, to be even more careful, to determine I'll be kind even if others are not, and to rest when others are still running around frantically. We begin by praying for the peace that comes from God. And trusting in God to bless us. And then we can move forward to build into our lives some actions and activities and understanding that will help us be less stressed. Let me give you one more passage, and the lesson will be yours. Would you turn to Proverbs, please? This is Proverbs chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. Here's the verse for today in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25. The wise man says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." I hope this morning that what we've talked about is a good word that makes your heart glad. As we lean upon the Lord, as we look to the Lord, and as we determine that we will live as disciples before the Lord, and as we make a commitment that because we trust in Him, we can deal with and cope with the stress in our lives. Let's pray about that. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word and the comfort that it brings to us. Help us, Father, to resolve to live quiet lives, to be extra kind. Help us, Father, to unplug and stop the things that would distract us from our assurance in you. Bless our efforts to rest and to know you better through prayer and through reading your word. We seek, Father, the calmness of soul, the peace that passes understanding that comes from you And as we live as your children before you, bless us. Bless us in our Bible classes, the remainder of our worship. And as always, bless our elders as they shepherd and lead this flock. In Christ we pray, and amen.